kids, we're down to the final two of the night, starring the young lovers, Darkwolf and Motley. Of the pairing, Darkwolf's up first. Booyah.
Monty pushed the door of her new school open, trying to stop the hammering force of her heart in her chest. She promised herself she wasn't going to be scared about school, especially since it was one of the least of her problems. But Monty still felt insecure about the day ahead. She had known that being an exchange student wasn't going to be easy. The young English girl had been to new schools before, but she was still adjusting to the American culture since she had just moved to New York that past summer when her dad remarried. However, the moment she entered the main hallway, all of the teenagers of various ages and cliques seemed to look up and stop talking in order to stare at her. It wasn't like she should have stood out. Monty was naturally shy and was unused to the attention suddenly being thrust upon her. She even tried to pick out a simple outfit in the hopes of blending in with her surroundings. Her hair was light brown, with streaks of violet highlights subtly accentuating her mauve contact-colored eyes. She had picked out a matching black top, layered with a fitted brown jacket and black-collared necklace, and worn fitted jeans that perfectly complemented her skinny figure. Her shoes were new, something her new stepmother had bought her from one of the designer stores in the city the day before. Monty had only worn them to make her dad happy, since she hated her new stepmother, who was obviously interested in her family only for her dad's money. She stood in the middle of the hall, clutching a Coach backpack to her chest and trying to avoid the looks of the other students, all of whom seemed surprisingly and extremely attractive. Finally, after a long moment, the students all turned away and avert their eyes, instantly speaking to one another in a low whisper. She knew they were gossiping about her already, even though she was still new to the school. At lunch, Monty noticed that the students were divided into six groups: A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, AB, and O. She could tell that it was divided according to blood type, but she couldn't determine why that would be. Unsure of what blood type she was, Monty finally chose the B positive line, hoping that the rest of the day was going to be positive.
"That's not right,"
a low, seductive voice breathed behind her, causing the hair on the back of her neck to stand on end. She gasped and turned. A boy was standing right next to her, peering down at her with deep, brown eyes flecked with silver. He had shiny black hair that was shaggy and hung over his left eye like a veil, giving him a more mysterious appearance. He wore a black button-up shirt casually, and it was just tight enough to see his well-muscled frame beneath. He gestured towards the AB section on the right.
"You're going to want to eat over there. Trust me."
The movement smooth and almost feline in nature. He brushed past her without so much more as a sidelong glance and moved in the direction of the A-plus line. Monty stared at him in surprise as he walked away. He wasn't just attractive. He was stunning. Everything about him, the way he walked or talked or even smelled, caught her completely off guard as she stood in the middle of the lunchroom trying to snap herself out of the odd dazed sensation. Quickly, she grabbed some food from the buffet and scanned the crowd in attempts to find a place to sit. Her nerve quickly deserting her, she fled to the nearest table and sat down amongst a small group of students, all eating in stoic silence.
"Hi."
Monty smiled, trying to look cheerful and not betray her hidden nervousness as she slid into the seat next to one of the girls.
"Can I sit here?"
The group of students gave her dark looks and stood up, clearing their things away abruptly.
"Sorry,"
one of the girls said briskly, tossing her blonde hair.
"We're full."
They walked away and left Monty sitting alone at the table and feeling worse than before. "I hate this," she thought angrily to herself, wishing she could take her anger out on something or someone. Nothing ever went right for her, not once.
"Are you okay?"
A voice startled Monty as she quickly sniffed and wiped the tears away that were threatening to fall.
"Go away,"
she said, glaring at the newcomer. But she couldn't glare for very long. Even though he wasn't as gorgeous as most of the other male students, she was still surprised at how attractive she found him. His gold brown hair fell around his face and ears, and his intense gaze of green was mixed with gold instead of silver, like the other boys. He seemed more rugged and muscled than the other students, too, and there was almost a wild gleam in his expression, subtle enough to miss, but becoming more apparent the longer she looked at him. His outfit was only a little different, too. The shirt was navy blue instead of black, and he had worn light pants instead of dark jeans.
I saw what they did. I'm sorry.
He apologized quickly. He slid into the seat across from her.
I'm Lionel, by the way, but my friends call me Ragai.
Whatever.
Monty snapped back, trying not to show that she was on the verge of crying.
Why do you care about me? You don't even know me.
Won't you give me a chance?
Ragai persisted.
I don't need your pity,
came the retort. She was feeling more confident now.
But you're going to need my help.
Monty looked at him curiously.
What do I need help with?
Haven't you figured it out?
The boy looked surprised.
All the students are too attractive to be normal. They eat by blood type. It's perfectly obvious.
I don't know!
Monty protested. Ragai lowered his voice and leaned in close across the table.
They're all vampires.
Monty's jaw dropped.
But that's impossible!
Is it?
He smiled triumphantly.
You one too?
She whispered at last, still trying to process this new information all at once.
No. I'm a werewolf.
Monty's jaw dropped again.
How is that possible?
It just is,
Ragai said solemnly.
But I have to warn you. I think you've already been singled out by one of the vampires.
Instantly, Monty felt her chest tighten a bit, and she glanced to one side. The black-haired boy, no, vampire, was staring at her from across the room with a knowing smile. She shuddered and turned quickly back to Ragai.
That's Sam Haft, Ragai whispered. He's one of the most powerful vampires in the entire school.
What does he want with me?
Monty gasped. Ragai smiled.
He wants your blood.
Dylan, what do you think?
I liked your narrative voice as well, Dark Wolf. I think you have a good narrative voice, and I thought you read it well, especially the tones that you had for it being a vampire story. I thought was good. You said avert instead of averted, but that was the only time I caught you on anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I liked your Monty voice. I like how she randomly shouted, I don't know, how you made her like, because that's what she does. We will be having like a conversation, and she'll just randomly start shouting at me, which that's why we don't talk in voice much anymore. It's a French thing, I think. So what do you think about this?
Wasn't too fond of your French accent, but you know.
It was a good try.
I liked your narrator voice.
Your French accent kind of sounded British. That was my problem with it.
It didn't sound British enough to be like really French.
Yeah, it was too French to be. It was too British to be French, but not British enough to be British.
Yeah.
I don't like your British accent, Dark Wolf. Like, there's something about it that just doesn't sound right to me. I've said this before to you. I don't like your British accent.
He knows it's not a good accent, last time I checked.
Well, then why does he keep doing it? I guess because it's Monty.
Because Monty is distinctly British in
this. It's forgivable. You're right, it's forgivable. I thought you did a good job, though, overall, like, aside from the British accent. And you said avert instead of averted, but, like, I liked you a lot. I liked your narration a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be fine tonight.
Nothing really stood out. Nothing really, like, detracted from it. So I think you're fine.
All right. Well, then, he's not going to be satisfied with it. He's going to be like, well, so it was what, middle of the pack?
Yeah, it was middle of the pack. You're under the radar.
Why is it middle of the pack? Tell me what I could have done. Tell me what I could have done better.
Because you want to be under the radar.
Tell me what I could have done better. How could this have been better?
I've been assigned a better story like Hairspray.
So you're going to blame the script. You, of all people, are going to blame the script.
Hey, you know what? He already got to ride on the whole I'm better than a script thing.
Was he better than the script?
This time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then why is he in the middle of the pack?
Because I say so, bitch! No. All right. I don't think we've gotten a little overzealous enough with the Act It fanfics. So, up next we have Motley Fool rounding out the night with a very sexy fanfic. Take it away, buddy!
A.N. So, this story is a lot better when you're listening to Only One by Yellow Card. Oh my god, that song is amazing! Sorry for any misspellings. I used autocorrect, I swear. I'm kinda drunk, so I hope this reads well. It's been a while since I wrote a fanfic, so please don't be hard on me. And if I see any of you trolling bitches out there, I won't be responsible for your deaths, even though I'll have committed them. Also, I wrote this in first person originally, but a friend told me it sounded smarter if I talked in third person, so I did.
It was 12 on Friday when she got the call that her mother died. She cried. Because her mother was now dead, she had to change schools to go live with her dad, who had a full-time job, so she had to go to boarding school instead. Later that day, she walked into the school, which was in English because that's where Dad lives. She was wearing a short blue jean skirt with a cute pink spaghetti strap top and black high heels. Oh, and pink leg warmers because it was cold. She was quiet that day and kept to herself because she was trying not to cry over the loss of her mom, who she lives very much. When she got to the dorms to move her stuff in, a boy with ashy brown hair and brown eyes under thinly rimmed glasses met her grinning. He looked really dorky.
"Hi, are you the new kid?" he said in a voice that made him sound like an asshole.
Yeah. How did you know? She stuttered.
"Well, I'm the RA for this dorm. I know who everybody is."
"Oh," she said. "Can you take me to my dorm?"
"Sure. Just let me get the paperwork," he replied.
She followed him to his office, and then it occurred to her that she hadn't heard his name yet, so I asked.
"My name is Sean Chiplock. You may have heard of me. I'm sort of a big deal."
OMG! It was Sean Chiplock, winner of AX Idol 2008! She couldn't believe he was in England, and going to the same school as her! She looked at him again, and the goofy, dorky grin he had on wasn't so disturbing, but was now charming in a way.
"Well, that's odd," he commented, looking the papers over.
"What?" she asked, curious.
"You've been placed in the guy's dorm."
"What?" she shrieked. "This was awful. It was obvious I was a girl."
"Yep. We'll just take you there for now, I guess, and see who your roommate is," he said, walking up the stairs so she followed.
She kicked each step as she followed, angry that not only had her mother died, but the stupid school had decided it was okay for her to be in the dorms room despite her obvious girlitude. So mad!
When they got to the dorm, she was a little less angry, but not much. They came up to a door decorated with a Lady Gaga poster, and she sighed. At least whoever she was stuck with had amazing taste. Let's just hope he liked Britney, too.
"Oh, dear."
Sean sighed as he knocked on the door.
"What?"
she asked, curious.
"It's just this is Dylan Collins' room, and he requested his room be a single, so I think he might throw a fit."
"Oh, no."
The door opened, and in front of the new girl stood the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. A pink star covered his left eye, and onyx eyeliner outlined each of his chocolate eyes. He wasn't thin, but he had more to love. He had the girl's build in macho form, and she was overcome. Her underwear got tight, and the duct tape she had wrapped around her, you know what, was getting uncomfortable.
"Hello,"
escaped the girl's lips before she could make sure she hadn't said anything stupid.
"Hi. Can I help you?"
he said, boredom edging out of his southern drawl.
"This is Adrian, a new student here," Sean said, pushing her forward.
She wanted to hit him for putting her in that situation.
Dylan looked her up and down and stopped at her spaghetti strap top.
"What is that? Like, last season from Kohl's?"
She knew then that she could never love him, no matter how good a taste in music he had. She looked at him, looking at his bugly brown loafers, his faded, untailored jeans, his gray and black tracksuit with a green t-shirt underneath, and stopped at his pink beanie. It was all obviously pulled out of the bargain section of a Goodwill. How dare he insult my amazing fashion sense?
"Yeah, I'm gonna go back to my home. Okay, thanks, bye."
"She's your roommate!" Sean shouted before the door could close.
That seemed to get Dylan's attention.
"Alright, Trigatry, get the fuck out of here. I have business to deal with."
Dylan.
"Bitch, I'm not your hoe!"
came a banshee shriek from inside the room.
I just came by to get my CDs. I'm through with you, wanker!
A red-faced monster with a crooked nose and brown, beatless hair and wearing all black bolted out of the door and tripped on the new girl.
Watch it!
She roared, knocking me to the wall before running through the hall to the door. They watched her leave, and Adrian wondered what she was doing in Dylan's room. She secretly hoped they weren't dating and hoped nobody around her could read minds.
So, I have a girl roommate, Dylan sighed,
fingering the hole in the door where the lock goes into, which sort of got Adrian hot. But she couldn't let it show in case they would think she was weird.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Sean said. I'll try and get everything fixed up, but in the meantime, you'll have to deal with each other.
Whatever,
Dylan said before disappearing back into his their room. Sean handed Adrian a key and then left, leaving Dylan and Adrian alone together.
So, what's up with the pink helmet?
Dylan asked, taking her by surprise with his cordiality.
I'm sort of allergic to everything in the air, Adrian said sadly.
Oh.
So you want to make out? Dylan asked.
Color flushed to her cheeks. Maybe she misheard something. He couldn't have just asked her that.
What? She asked. You heard me.
But what about the girl Tregatree who was in here before? Aren't you guys, like, going out or something? I don't want to be your mistress.
We're not married, and we're certainly not going out. That hoe doesn't put out.
Oh. Suddenly, she was backed against the wall, and he had her arms held down. It was almost like being raped, except she liked it. His lips were full on hers, and a moan escaped her lips as he moved his hands to finger her hip bones. She shuddered with delight. Dylan took a break from kissing and opened his shimmering chocolate eyes and whispered,
I've never loved anyone like I've loved you, Adrian. Will you be mine? Forever?
And then she remembered they could never be in love. Tears filled Adrian's eyes, and she wasn't wearing her helmet anymore so they could kiss.
What's the matter? Dylan said.
I'm not really a girl! Adrian replied, sobbing so much on the inside it was coming out on the outside.
What?
Dylan responded. She reached down under my skirt and pulled off the tape, which was a bad idea because now he could see she was aroused.
Oh.
Dylan responded. Adrian continued to sob, and he stayed quiet.
Well, I guess that's okay.
Hope shot through my heart, and my tears stopped immediately. Do you mean it?
Yeah. I'm not straight. I told you Tregatree wasn't my hoe. I only date guys. I thought everyone knew this. I was worried because you looked so much like a girl, and I was thinking maybe I'm bisexual after all. But thank God you're a guy.
I leapt into his arms, overcome with joy. He took me to the bed and started playing with my... you know what. And then Sean came in.
Oh my God, you guys, what is going on here?
He screamed, shocked. Dylan grabbed his shoe and threw it at Sean.
Shut up, douchebag, we're copulating.
What? But that's not allowed here!
Too bad! I love him!
Dylan yelled and beat up Sean, so Adrian and he could get back to their love.
Oh, Tregatree.
That's the best thing ever, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like being raped, except she liked it.
Okay, first of all, let me just say I'm not a rapist. Let me just put that out there.
You can't rape yourself, Dylan, and you can't rape the willing.
You captured me perfectly, Tregatree, other than the fact that I'm not a rapist.
Wait, you're gay?
Also, Sean won AX Idol 2009, not 2008.
I know.
Maybe you should get your facts straight.
Dylan, I don't know if you read this, but, there's so many problems in this.
Okay, so, Motley, Beatless was supposed to be Beatles. Her beatless hair was supposed to be Beatles hair. That was the only time I caught you failing, other than stuff that was spelled incorrectly that you said incorrectly, but that's just because it was spelled incorrectly.
And I think you also said herself instead of myself once, and I was okay with that because I thought you were correcting a typo. But then, like, every other time that I or me or anything like that was said in the narration, you didn't correct it again.
Well, again, so, I'm not going to be too harsh on you for that because I don't care. That was so jumbled, the writing. I thought you did a good job as far as narrating this. Mm-hmm. I thought your voice characterizations were good.
I liked your Dylan.
Yeah. I liked this Dylan better than the Dylan in the Immunity Challenge. What do you think?
I think your me actually was better in the Immunity, though.
What do you think, Chagatry?
I liked it. It was a little slow-paced, but I was okay with that, because this is obviously a piece of crap. I liked that you got a bit emotional in the narration, since it was obviously originally a first-person narrative. I don't really know what else to say about this.
I didn't like it. I liked your performance, though, Molly. You have a good narrator voice. I thought you did a good job. The pacing was kind of slow, but that's because this is a piece of shit, this writing. You maybe could have put some music or something underneath it, but that wasn't necessary for the challenge. And also, yeah. I know you have computer problems this week, so... but as far as reading it and not flubbing many things and stuff like that, you did a good job, and I don't think you'll have any problems going to next week.
Mm-hmm.